0656.
Come to the final Range War Rodeo of the Year, August 21st at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, presented by C&K Equipment. It's free, family fun, rodeo action, including mutton busting. Come early for food, cold beverages, shopping, and live music. Buy a program, and you're automatically entered to win some great prizes. Gates open at 5. Rodeo starts at 7. Don't miss the Range War Rodeo, August 21st at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, Buffalo, Wyoming. A big thank you to our sponsors, MTR Ranch Supply and High Country Creative.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Hello, Sheridan. This is Brooke with Sheridan County Predator Management District. Sheridan County has seen record numbers of rabies cases the past couple of years, and this year has a similar potential. If you or a family member see an animal that is acting sick or unusual, please do not approach that animal. Report to the district's rabies handler, Paul Herman, for extraction and testing at 307-751-1412.
Jack Loeb's Explore Strange Cryptids.
There was a woman who claimed to have been attacked by Spring Hill Jack. And in the trial, the police and everyone involved in the trial, being as dutiful as they could, said, can you vomit fire like, you know, Spring Hill? And he's like, I don't believe I've ever had the ability to do that. And they're like, okay, well, you're not the guy. Carry on, good sir.
Oh my gosh, no way, really?
So they just let him walk.
Can't be you then. Carry on.
Failure in the justice system. Yeah.
Jack Loeb's Explore on the podcast page at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, August 20th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan Police Department Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, Captain.
Good morning, Floyd. How are you?
Oh, doing great. It's always good having you here. First day of school in Sheridan.
Yes.
It's here, and we've all got some patience that we're digging for.
Just like to remind everyone, even though School District 2 starts the 26th, there are a lot of smaller non-school districts, private and church schools in town, and they may have started. So already let's get in the habit of getting to work safely and making sure all the students and staff get to school, or we get to work, student and staff get to school safely. It is that time of year to where, you know, we have to get used to the year out of our summer routine of no traffic and back into what's normal.
And I'm glad you brought up the private schools, because they do start on different dates.
I'm sure they do.
And so we could end up having kids out there right now. So keep your head on a swivel, folks. Now, sir, what does the Sheridan Police Department do to help provide school safety?
Well, we do three things. First and foremost, we have Officer Megan Phillips as the school resource officer for School District 2 schools. She primarily floats back and forth between the high school and the junior high school. We're allotted two officers for School District 2, and when staffing numbers can support that, then we will assign another officer. At times of full staffing, we'll have an officer in each of those two schools, and then they share the elementary schools. Also, officers, regular patrol officers, are expected to stop by elementary schools and make school visits and just have a presence, and also get to know the staff and kids a little bit. But primarily, like I often say, we're a police department, and our job is to keep people safe.
Yeah, yeah. And when those officers are in the schools, you said kind of get to know people, say hi to the kids, shake a couple hands when you're there, get to know some of the administration so you can recognize those faces, right?
And get to know the layout of the schools as well.
Yeah.
School District 2 is a fantastic partner with law enforcement. I think I could speak for the sheriff's office as well, saying that they're wonderful to work with, and they give us everything we need to help them.
Now, when it comes to school safety, such a high priority for the SPD. How do you like to try and make that clear to the community to garner that trust?
Well, we garner community trust in everything we do. And I think we as a department, have a great relationship with the community, and we're at the point to where if we say something, then people tend to give us the benefit and believe us.
Mm-hmm.
But in the schools, we you know, it's a community expectation, which is another way we garner trust. People expect us to keep schools safe.
Yeah.
And we want to keep the school safe. So not only do we have the school resource officer program and the school visit program, but we also react to incidents in school, for which we train a great deal on. We train for worst case scenarios. As a matter of fact, once again, the sheriff's office and Wyoming Regional Emergency Medical Services, also known as the ambulance service, and the fire department had a we spent about 6 months refining how we get a patient in the school onto an ambulance as quick as possible, and we just wrapped that up with the help of school district too in earlier this month.
Oh,
so
wow.
we're constantly refining how we respond to the schools and how we can respond as efficiently as possible. So it's a constantly evolving process.
And of course it should be. You know, finding those bits and pieces in your training where you're like, you know what, I think we can do this quicker, or I think we can be better at doing that particular thing.
Yep.
And how often, and this is something that you and I have talked about in the past, we're not going to give away any secrets here. How often are you guys getting together, though, to just kind of throw out ideas? Does it come as like one of those moments where you pick up the phone and you're like, you know what, Sheriff, I just had a thought. Can we have a powwow?
Well, the last time we did that, it was probably maybe it was early 2024, I think, when I went over to talk to the sheriff about refining the police response to an incident in the school. And he had the exact same thing written down in his notes.
Wow.
That he had thought of and that his staff had brought up. So we have refined that process as well. DCI has been fantastic in, you know, independently evaluating us and setting up scenarios and helping our training. And also, they're the ones that they had an agent who, had a protocol from a bigger, department.
Mm-hmm.
We have a subject matter expert right on hand here in town, and it was the new national standard. So not only are we're trying to improve all aspects.
Yeah.
And it happens sometimes in our training or in our response to something, we recognize an area that could be improved.
And that's fantastic. DCI is involved in all of this. That's,
yes.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
And kind of being the objective, standing off to the side, let's go ahead and run the drill, see what happens.
Yes.
You'll get a fair evaluation.
Yes. Because, you know, I'm sure from your time in the military, after action reviews are difficult.
Yes, they can be.
Especially if you haven't performed well. So you always want an independent reviewer.
It's always good to have the NCO out there with the clipboard.
Yes.
You know, who's calling the shots a little bit. Now, can you tell us about the role of Lieutenant James Hill as a liaison to the school district? Is this something new? Or
no.
Is this, you've always had this.
No. He is our... Special Operations Bureau Commander, and the school resource officers fall into that bureau, as to detectives and the community service officers. He meets with school district too at those quarterly school safety meetings, and also addresses any issues that may arise throughout the course of the year.
Now, when it comes to Officer Megan Phillips serving as our school resource officer, what are her duties in regards? Like, she's there to keep everybody safe.
Yes, she is there to be a police officer. She is not there to enforce school policy.
Mm.
And that is a very bold line that she won't cross. And none of our school resource officers have since the 25-ish years we've had them.
Mm.
We're there to primarily to make the school safe.
You guys have had an SRO. For 25 years.
Roughly. I remember I think it started a year, or two after I was hired in 2000. And at one point we had three, but they're all paid for by a federal grant. And now we partner with the school districts. They cover some of the costs of officers, and we cover the rest. And then thirdly, once again, once staffing permits, we have a slot for a third one at the college, which once again, the college partners with us to cover some of those expenses, and we can help keep the college safe. Right now, in regards to the college, the college has freed up some funds to where our officers can go up there on the time off and work overtime. And that's the cost covered by the college. It's not costing the city anything. And officers, once again, are still expected to make college visits, just like they make school visits, and just get out on foot to drive through the area and just have a look around and make sure everything's safe.
And that's something that I was going to talk to you about, because the college visits have kind of always been part of their duties, just driving through, checking things out. And then, but now, if I'm looking for overtime,
yes,
I can drive up there, spend a whole day up there at the college.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yep. It's a good program. It checks a lot of boxes. It makes the college safe, gives our officers a change of scenery and a chance for some overtime. And, you know, going back to why the schools or why the college, it's like, well, they're big gatherings of people.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a special event downtown. We're going to have extra policing there because it's a big gathering of people that we want to keep safe.
Absolutely. And I imagine they probably get a lot of questions from students looking to go into law enforcement.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt either. It's a good recruiting opportunity.
Yeah.
We have the college has a vibe. It's just a good college period, but it does have a vibrant law enforcement curriculum as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And having an officer who, you know, been out there on a beat for X amount of time.
Yes.
Milking them for information. That's great. Now, what are some of the ways officers assist faculty and students beyond just security? Do they ever counsel anything in the classroom? Maybe make a visit, talk about their job?
We make visits talking about the job. We will teach some classes, especially some of the civics-based classes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We've had SROs participate in after-school programs where they might set up a little crime scene and teach the kids how to process it. But once again, we're there for safety. They will talk to students that may need a different avenue to the defend.
Mm-hmm.
Officer Phillips is very skilled in that. And it's just to help in any way they can in a law enforcement capacity.
Yeah. And I think that's great. The officers being up there, setting up little scenarios for the kids. It's fun. It's educational. And it develops a great relationship between children and law enforcement.
Yeah.
Now, patrol officers required to stop by the schools during the week. So even though we do have our SRO, we got the college covered, we still have officers stopping by all of these schools, popping in.
Yeah. I mean, there are five elementary schools in school district 2. At most, we're going to have two SROs assigned to school district 2. So we want to get a presence in all the schools. And the benefit is we also want an officer stopping by at different times.
Random.
This randomly. Just to have that presence and maybe a little bit of an unpredictable presence. So there's no pattern should someone wish to do something wrong in one of the schools.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's fantastic. Not knowing is a huge advantage when it comes to keeping people safe. On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. More with our Sheridan Police Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. And 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time, wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
This August, discover the magic of Peridot at Legacy Diamond and Gems. Born and fired, carried by volcanoes, Peridot is one of the few gems that glows naturally at night and the only gemstone to have been found in meteorites. Ancient sailors wore it for protection. Mystics believe it could chase away darkness. Celebrate your story with a gem that's traveled through time and space. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every stone tells a story. 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
Would you like to hear people more clearly in noise? Hi, this is JT Kraft with EBIA Hearing and Sound. Today's smart hearing aid technology can improve your ability to understand speech in noisy environments better than ever. These prescriptive medical devices have a 40-hour rechargeable battery life, they're waterproof, Bluetooth compatible, and more. Why struggle to hear? Get a hearing test and try a free hearing aid demo today. EBIA Hearing and Sound, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Julie Chadwick has been named one of the nation's top 20 digital directors for the second year in a row from Radio Inc. magazine. Congratulations, Julie.
Thank you, Bob.
Digital marketing can seem overwhelming.
Well, you know, digital means so many things. There's a lot of language thrown around that people don't understand, and frankly, it's intimidating. We want our clients to understand geofencing, email marketing, banner ads, website promotions, our online marketplace where clients can be featured, and so much more. Plus, we're local.
So is this how you become one of the nation's top 20 digital directors?
Well, you know, we got national recognition because we're not order takers. Sheridan Media is employee-owned, which means we have a lot at stake, too. We've built an amazing team here who loves to create knock-it-out-of-the-park marketing combinations for our clients.
See how digital combined with traditional marketing can work for you. Go with the best in the country right here in Sheridan. Email sales@SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan Police Department Captain of the Force, Tom Ringley. Now, Captain, we're talking about school safety. Everyone's getting back to school. I start seeing all the folders and all the notebooks and pens go up in front of all the stores as early as July sometimes. And I feel so sorry for those kids because that's like the impending doom of summer.
Yeah, yeah. just got out of school for vacation and now they're having it waved in their face that they're going back
soon. Yeah, I gotta stare at that thing. Are Sheridan officers trained to respond to those critical incidents? Something that you and I have talked about in the past. We said we're not going to give away secrets, but what does that training involve? Because when you and I talked about that training, who is involved? We got the EMS, we got the Sheriff's Department. Does HP jump in on that as well?
Yeah. And to be blunt, there are officers, all of our officers are trained to go into anywhere, school, mm-hmm. business, or home, and stop a threat. And sometimes that involves the use of a firearm. And that, mm-hmm. that's our base. Our base mission is to keep people safe. So our officers are trained in single response and they're trained in to respond as a team. And they will not sit around and wait for more resources. If there's an ongoing intentional mass casualty incident, they will respond as a single unit.
Now, is that something you guys have spoke about?
Pretty
bluntly to
officers. We train on it. And that's a nationwide
practice.
And it, you know, it's lessons learned from Littleton and other critical incidents to where threats maybe could have been ended sooner.
Yeah. So get in there and get the job done.
Yes.
Now, how do you coordinate with the school staff on safety procedures in case of that emergency? Do you bring faculty to you and say, okay, let's have a talk?
The schools train on, you know, it's evolved over the years from lockdown to ALICE training to, you know, that's something else that involves, that evolves. And Officer Phillips will give her input on their safety procedures. But ultimately, if we have to go into a school, we are going to end a threat. We're not going to be worrying about what people who are safe are doing.
Yeah.
But we will offer all the input that's an advice that's solicited.
Oh, it's okay. So they meet themselves and Officer Phillips.
Yeah, she works
with them. Is her advisor, advisor.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, what do officers do on the very first day of school here in Sheridan?
We have an increased presence, especially at the beginning of school, because this people may have got used to driving through school zones all summer and not worrying about little kids crossing the road or increased traffic. So we just have the presence to remind people to slow down and take their time.
Now, how do you ask your officers or tell your officers to behave? Is it a go ahead, hang out in the car, and just keep an eye, keep that radar out? Or is it more of a walk around?
It's both. We hire people that can make decisions and think critically. So our officers do whatever they deem necessary at that specific moment.
Now, as school gets underway, what is the biggest message you would really like folks here in Sheridan to know?
Is slow down, plan accordingly, add a couple extra minutes to your schedule, and just get to wherever you're going safely. Account for the backed up intersections. I know 5th and Highland is a big issue with people trying to make those left turns after the lights turn red. We're aware of it, but if you think about it, trying to turn a police car to make a traffic stop in that traffic is just going to increase more dangers. So if you have to go through a busy intersection, maybe avoid it. Find a detour like I do. 5th and Highland's on my way to work, and I go around it so I don't have to deal with it. And just take your time.
Yeah. Now, in your opinion, why is it so important for residents to not only see the officers out there sitting in the cars with the radar, which slows them down, but also to see you out walking around? Meeting with the kids.
Well, it's important to us to meet with the kids because it's making the school safe, and it builds that level of trust between the officers and school staff and the kids. But it, as regards to the community as a whole, it's it shows that we're meeting community expectations. Hmm. We know people want us to keep the school safe. So I guess if they see us there, then they know we're accomplishing that mission. But also it's a sign that we're not going to tolerate any nonsense in a school either. I think we've made that clear over the years, and we absolutely zero tolerance for anyone thinking they're going to go into one of our schools to make a point about anything, because school staff safety and student safety is paramount.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When it comes to things like vapes, sometimes the kids take them into schools. I mean, when I was in school, I can remember some of those kids, they might not have had it on them, but you could see that chew can ring in the back pocket.
When I was in school, there was a smoking area.
Yeah.
Times have changed, but vapes are prohibited by ordinance. And Officer Phillips will treat each case accordingly.
Yeah, accordingly.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, she has the discretion to either issue a citation or work with the parents. It's entirely up to her.
That's fantastic. Like, sit them down and let's talk about this. Let's talk about addiction. Let's talk about nicotine. Let's talk about how it can affect your life.
Yep.
I think that's great. Captain, school safety, law enforcement's highest priority. But what else besides being patient, slowing down, can the public do to help the SPD make our public schools and our private schools safe?
Parents need to be aware of what their children are doing. They need to be aware of, and it's entirely their prerogative to know what's in their children's room, to know what's on their whatever social media kids are using today. And if they see anything, either their children or any of their children's friends have made any concerning statements, they need to ask their children about that. And if they think it's necessary, they need to call us. And this isn't for us to be big brother and be some type of thought police. It's to sit down with the child and determine whether or not there's a real threat, and also to get that child or any other person that pointed towards the resources they need.
And that's something that I think parents really need to hear, Captain, because a lot of individuals here in the state, very independent, and they don't like to, quote unquote, well, I'm not going to bother the police about this.
Yes.
But that's why you're here.
Yeah, and it's not a bother if we're helping with a problem before it develops.
Yeah. Yeah. Get ahead of that bull.
Yes.
And so, folks, if you hear anything, or your kid kind of lets you in on what's going on, don't hesitate. Call the SPD. Let's keep everybody safe together. It takes a community. Captain, I want to thank you for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure seeing you, my friend.
For me too, Floyd.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the mayor of Buffalo. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Volunteers of America.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
Doug, I'm looking for a very specific pre-owned vehicle, but I don't even know what it is yet.
That's okay, Bob. We're trained professionals here at Waring Chevrolet. We'll feel what you're looking for.
Like car whispers?
Exactly. We stand on a lot and bam, the right vehicle finds you.
Wow, that sounds like magic.
It's not magic. We have over 65 pre-owned vehicles staring at us on the lot. But if we don't have the specific one, we'll track it down.
Let the car whispers. I mean the professionals at Waring Chevrolet help you find your next ride. 107 East Alger online, waringsheridan.com.
Hi there. I'm Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's, right here on Main Street in downtown Sheridan. At Frackleton's, great food is just where it starts. From the second you step inside, we aim to treat you like family. Your server, more like a personal guide to a perfect meal, offering up pairings, suggestions, and a smile to boot. Whether you're grabbing dinner, celebrating something big, or just treating yourself, we'll make it a meal to remember. Don't forget to snag a table ahead of time at Frackleton's.com.
Dude, Rootstock is coming to Landon's Greenhouse.
Rootstock? What's that?
Rooted in Wyoming's annual fundraiser. $30 gets you amazing local food from Ola's Market, local beer, and live music from Dave Munsick. Plus, donations are matched by the Standish Family Fund.
Rooted in Wyoming taught my kids soils and worms.
Yeah, so bring your friends and family and items for the food drive. Help connect the community through local food.
Rootstock, Saturday, September 6th, 12 to 3 at Landon's Greenhouse. Get tickets at rootedinwyoming.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. We're proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm speaking with the mayor of Buffalo, Mr. Shane Schrader. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are things in Sheridan?
They're warming up. You know,
they are. A little toasty down here.
This morning I was almost kind of excited. I started seeing reports of partly cloudy all day, but then I saw the temperature spikes that are going to be coming quite shortly.
Yeah, it's going to be a warm one.
It's that time of year. And speaking of that time of year, how has the summer been over there in Buffalo, sir?
It's been great. It's been you know, it's a good summer. You know, the pool was a hit as usual, and our functions and our events went off great. So it's been a good summer with everything else going on down here, you know, the constructions and that sort of stuff. We've all worked through it, and things were good.
I would love to learn from Travis if the Buffalo Pool ended up getting maybe even some more foot traffic from folks over here in Sheridan who just basically wanted to swim outside. It's a very unique experience. And with Kendrick Pool shut down for the construction of the year, I was really hoping to try and send some folks over there to Buffalo, because that every time I used to take my kid out there, it was so much fun. There's something different about being outside in the pool.
Well, I can tell you, in the parking lot there was a lot of 3 county cars, vehicles, 17 county, 1 county. So I kind of checked the parking lot, and there were lots of out of Johnson County vehicles that were there. So I think we had a small increase, not 100% sure, but there was a lot of out-of-town vehicles there.
Well, that's great to hear. Now, speaking of people from out-of-town, how did Longmire Days go? Did it draw the large crowds?
You know, it drew a good crowd. It's going good. I don't know the exact numbers off the top of my head, and a lot of the events were out at the TA Ranch this year, so, you know, I didn't see that much downtown, but I think it went off fairly well. It went good. Everybody's excited to see Robert Taylor and the crew when they come in, and, you know, they've been coming for so many years. They're kind of like family coming to visit every year now, so that's a great thing.
Now, I know a lot of people around here, all the locals, kind of understand and know what Longmire Days is. But I will say this, folks, if you've never taken part, I had the opportunity to cover it from a news perspective. I've had the opportunity to go out there and participate in two different events, both which were an absolute pleasure, meeting, you know, both Mr. Taylor and Mr. Johnson, the two Walts, fantastic events. And it's great for the city of Buffalo. While you're down there, walk downtown. Beautiful. A lot of unique things sold in the downtown of Buffalo. Now, speaking of downtown, sir, we've seen more e-bikes around Buffalo lately. From the city's perspective, what are the main safety concerns with how they're being used on sidewalks and the streets?
Well, the main safety concern is they're being used on the sidewalks, which is not, you know, there's no bikes, no skateboards, anything like that are not allowed on the sidewalks. And then when you put in e-bikes, some of them go 30 miles an hour or more, and you get rambunctious children, rambunctious adults, everybody that's on there, and they zoom along, and somebody steps out in front of a storefront or their house, and along comes an e-bike and or an e-motorcycle or an e-scooter or one of the little one-wheel jobbies, and poof,
yeah,
you have an accident. And in my other job, we've responded to a couple of e-bike accidents, and you know, when you're doing 30 miles an hour, it's a pretty serious crash. So keep them off the sidewalks, play by the rules, and that's good.
Now, how does Chief Bissett look at these things? As if they're motorized vehicles, correct?
Well, you know, the chief's kind of in a sticky wicket because, you know, in researching it, there's not a lot of regulations to them, you know. And here it's unique because you have city, county, state, and federal lands that they can be on, and every agency, every governmental entity has a different set of rules, if they have rules to them. So it's different than, you know, if it goes over a certain speed, if it's over a certain wattage, if it's over a certain kilowatt, you know, then some rules apply. If it's under, then some rules don't apply. So
you know, he and his crew are in kind of a pickle because, you know, how do you enforce it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, is that what you want your police department out monitoring, or do you want them out dealing with the stuff that they need to deal with? That's the next question that you have, is where is your best time spent? So I think the best time spent is parents educating kids, kids educating themselves, and adults educating themselves on the safety and the rules of e-bikes in each area.
Sir, has the Buffalo City Council considered maybe looking at some new ordinances or some new rules to address where and when these e-bikes can be ridden?
It's been in the works. It's, you know, there has been talks. There were some people that came to the council meeting last night with concerns about e-bikes. And, you know, again, it's difficult because, as you know, our trail system is huge down here, but it covers city, state, county, and federal lands. So how do you write an ordinance to enforce it in one area, but it's not enforceable, you know, on the other side of the tree, so to speak? And so it's all in the works, and we're trying to figure out how best to do it. But again, it just goes back to educating yourself, educating your family, and wearing the right safety equipment on those rules.
So as of right now, would you recommend that folks basically operate these e-skateboards, e-scooters, e-bikes, the same as you would operate, say, a combustion dirt bike? It's going to have to be on the street. You're going to have safety equipment on, especially children under a certain age.
Well, that's my recommendation. And, you know, and talking about children, you know, school started here Monday. And so we have more bikes, more e-bikes, more e-scooters, more all that sort of stuff out. So even they need to be more prepared as the operators of those e-bikes and e-scooters and everything else. And we as motor vehicle operators need to be more aware that there's going to be more children out there on them.
Absolutely. Keeping your head on a swivel. So you get around those school zones. There's a pretty long school zone right before Main Street if you're coming in off of the freeway. Remember that posted speed limit, folks. Slow down. I imagine those lights are going to be flashing. And, you know, it. That's kind of just the start right there, isn't it, Mr. Mayor? Because you hit that spot, and it's kind of 20 miles an hour all the way up to the other stoplight.
Correct. It is, and then, you know, you get on Burritt, where Cloud Peak, Clear Creek, and Meadowlark are. Burritt's a long stretch of school zone, and then the bypass with the high school. So there's a lot of school zones in Buffalo, so pay attention. Watch the crosswalks, watch the stop signs, watch the crossing guards, watch the blinky lights on the bus, and pay attention because our little ones are out there. And again, they're going to be on e-bikes this year.
Absolutely. And those e-bikes can really zip. As my father would say, they're a lot faster than what people think. And unfortunately, when you're on them, it doesn't feel like you're going 30 miles an hour, but 30 miles an hour can be deadly. Can be very deadly depending on the individual. You yourself, sir, as an EMT, you've seen this happen. So, folks, just, you know, sit the kids down.
I've seen serious life-threatening injuries with e-bikes this summer already. So,
another thing that Councilman Greg Luman, the Sheridan City Councilor, addressed was the batteries of these e-bikes. These things are not exactly 110% stable. There are some fires that can occur from these things. Make sure you're disposing of any old batteries correctly, that you're charging them correctly according to the owner's manual, or you may end up having a fire on your hands. So make sure that you're maintaining that e-bike. We don't want those to become a problem because they are a good, affordable option you know, but we also have to make sure that the city and the pedestrians are safe. Now, sir, switching gears on you here real quick. Johnson County Tourism Association recently briefed the council on some new projects, including videos promoting Buffalo, KC history. Sir, from your perspective, how important is tourism promotion to Buffalo's future? And follow up, how does the city really support those efforts?
That's huge. It's, you know, it's one of the biggest things that we can promote our town with is tourism. And Johnson County Tourism does a phenomenal job. I mean, they're amazing at what they're doing and how they're researching and trying to get groups in and everything. So they're doing great. And how do we support it? You know, we support it with 1% funds. We're open ears to them. If they have ideas, they can come to us. We've never told them no when they've came and asked for assistance with stuff, you know. And it's not even so much financial that they're coming. They need our support, and we can support them. You know, we can get out there and talk about the Johnson County tourism that does promote Buffalo, KC, and Johnson County. And, you know, living in this area, Floyd, you know that Buffalo and Johnson County and KC all rely on each other. It's not one horse pulling the wagon, it's all three. So we need all three, and that's how Johnson County Tourism can pull it all together. So it's huge. It's what supports our downtown businesses, our brick and mortars, and our gas stations and everything. So come shop Buffalo. Come see it. Definitely check out their website.
Now, the city works director also recently updated the council and yourself on the Main Street project. Let's start there. How's the Main Street project progressing along? What are they telling you?
Well, it's progressing. You know, the big chunk of, you know, the infrastructure is done. It's the box culvert down on Cemetery that's their big issue right now, but they're working, the state's working, the contractors are working, and I think they're doing a good job. You know, they've had some weather hiccups. They've had Fair and Rodeo Parade that they've worked with. They've had Longmire Parade that they've worked with. They've had lots of interesting things that they've been more than accommodating to make sure that it happens. They've done everything that they could to keep as much flowing down on Main Street as they can. So I think it's going well. I think we're on track, and hopefully by the end of this year, we'll be golden.
So the plan is the end of this year to be all finished up, curb and gutter, and buttoned up?
I don't know about 100% finished up, but it'll be enough that the headache portion of the construction is over. Hopefully. You never know with a construction project how it's actually going to go, because there's hiccups and road bumps in all those things that they, when they hit them, they get them fixed right away and they work through and they're moving on. So, yep, by the end of this year, you know, in that October, the end of the construction season, we should be very well near the end of it, of our 2-year project. So.
And you're pleased with the rate that these projects have been getting done?
Yeah, it's a construction project. Yeah, again, you know, we hear that all the time, but it's a construction project, and I've been in on enough hotel buildings and that sort of stuff that I get more nervous when there aren't issues that pop up than when there are.
Waiting for that other shoe to drop.
Why is it going so smooth, but why not? You know, the folks have been great about getting information out. They've been great about answering our questions. It doesn't matter what time we call them, you know. It's the good part about being in a small town is we know the engineers and everybody on this. So if we have to give them a call on their cell phone while they're eating dinner with their family, they answer our questions for us. So it's great, and I'm happy with it. We knew it was going to be a 2-year project. We knew there were going to be issues and challenges and I'm happy with the way that they've handled it and move forward when they have popped up with challenges that were unexpected. So,
is there kind of a sidebar? What is Buffalo's next capital improvement project that you got on your mind?
Well, you know, we had Burritt on the specific purpose tax. That didn't pass on the last one. I'll requote what I said when I was asked how I felt about it not passing. It'll be back again. So we'll look at some things. I know yesterday morning at the city county meeting, there was discussions of some projects, you know, to go on. And so we're just going to look at more streets and the infrastructure underneath and which ones need to be repaired as top priorities. Burritt, I think, is a top of our list. So
now there, during those city county meetings, how does the city and the county work together on these types of projects? Do you guys ever pool any money together, or is it very, very separate?
You know, most of the time they're separate issues. However, we do work together on things. You know, the Tech Park was a city county joint venture. There's been other city county joint ventures that have gone in together. But for the most part, you know, Road and Bridge will use infrastructure. Road and Bridge has their project. Public Works has their project. And it's nothing unusual or uncommon that, you know, the head of Road and Bridge is in conversations with the head of Public Works about a project. And can the city help the county? Can the county help the city in accomplishing some of this stuff as well? Talks of if we have to get manpower together to get it done, we'll do that, or equipment, or even funding if we have to do it.
Now, taking into account everything you've told us, tourism, the infrastructure, Cemetery Creek Culvert, Burritt, economic development, all on the table. What do you as mayor see as your top priorities that you would like to focus on over the course of the next year?
I think my top priority is working to recover from the Main Street project. There's got to be a little bit of recovery, and then continuously working on the infrastructure. Every city in Wyoming, every city in the country has some aging infrastructure, and we just have to figure out how to keep moving forward and making sure that the water turns on and the toilets flush and your car doesn't get out of line when you hit the big potholes. So
just maintaining the ship going forward.
Maintaining the ship, you know, but improving the infrastructure underneath the ship. There's lots of projects that can get done to get some of that aging sewer and water lines replaced.
Have revenue streams have revenue streams kind of lessened, or are they still pretty solid?
You know, I haven't seen Julie, you know, keeps a daily hourly watch on some of that stuff down at City Hall. I can only assume that some of the revenue streams are going to be smaller this year because of the construction, because of tourism, you know, being down a little bit, I think, this year. I think people across the country were just nervous about the economy. And where's it going to go?
Yeah.
So I don't know, is some of the national parks and stuff around here maybe saw the attendance that they had in previous years? I don't think it's down a whole lot, but it's down, and, you know, one penny, 1% adds up after a while. So whether it's incoming or not incoming, it those numbers add up. So we just have to make sure that we're a little diligent in some of our projects and put it back to a need versus want right now.
Yeah.
And the legislature's a little rocky, you know.
Agreed.
To be honest.
Agreed.
You know,
Mr. Mayor,
I'll leave it at that and say it's a little rocky, but
that's we'll play the PC card.
Yeah.
Sir, I want to thank you for taking the time to come and speak with us today. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. And thanks for calling in.
Absolutely.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Buy, sell, trade, or just look. The Upton Gun Club Gun Show Fundraiser is Saturday, August 23rd and Sunday the 24th at the Upton, Wyoming Community Center. You'll find guns, archery, knives, hunting items, and reloading supplies. They're even selling lunch. Admission is $5. Accompanied children under 12 are free. No loaded firearms allowed. All applicable state and federal laws will be observed. The Upton Gun Club Gun Show, sponsored in part by the Weston County Travel Commission.
Hi, this is Ken with Prime Rate Motors. We proudly support our 4-H and FFA members. During the month of August, Prime Rate Motors will donate $100 to Sheridan and Johnson County 4-H and FFA programs. For every new Wilson, Merritt, GR, Murhau, and Bar M stock and horse trailer sold, Prime Rate Motors supporting our agriculture community and youth for over 40 years. Oh, and did I mention, please support the local businesses that support you.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hey Sheridan, it's time to get your game on. I'm Danny with Cloud Peak Volleyball, inviting girls and boys in first through sixth grade to try volleyball for free. Join us August 25th at EMIT Technologies for a fun, no pressure chance to learn and play. Thanks to our partnership with USA Volleyball, this event is totally free. No experience needed, but space is limited. So sign up now at cloudpeakvolleyball.com/camps. That's cloudpeakvolleyball.com/camps. See you on the court.
It's time to vote on the Dog Days of Summer Photo Contest. Help your favorite photo win. We've had over 170 entries. Look and choose your favorite, or if you entered one, make sure you share it on social media and email and text your friends to help you win the $500 in chamber bucks from Mandy Koltiska with C21BHJ Realty and the gift certificate to All Around Canine Country Pet Inn. Vote for your favorite Dog Day of Summer photo on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.
Hi, this is Liz Kincaid, host of the video podcast called Sheridan County Ag Update. Join me each week as I visit with local folks about ag issues, rodeo, 4-H, FFA, and much more. Sheridan County Ag Update presented by Heartland Kubota and True Belt Builders. You can find my video podcast each week and other interviews under the podcast tab on SheridanMedia.com. So join me, Liz Kincaid, host of Sheridan County Ag Update on SheridanMedia.com.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE.
KROE.